Today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast with Dylan McCullough is presented by Compassion International. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world. Check out fillthestadium.com right now to learn how you can help release a kid and their family from poverty-stricken situations. And right now, it's desperate times for so many because of COVID-19 and the pandemic. Check out fillthestadium.com to donate and help release a child from poverty. This is a stadium that cannot remain empty. Fillthestadium.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. So glad you're tuning into the show today. We got a great conversation coming up with Dylan McCullough, who's the University of Indiana Associate Head Football Coach and Running Backs Coach. It's coming up in just a second. First, want to direct you to our website, sportsspectrum.com. That's where our content can be found. Free content, devotionals, podcasts, articles, stories, all available right there at the website, sportsspectrum.com. Also want to offer you up my email address, jason@sportsspectrum.com. If you have a guest idea or a topic that we should be covering, maybe you have an idea for someone we should be talking to on this podcast, you can email me directly, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Today on the show, Dylan McCullough is our guest today, and he is a part of a documentary called Show Me the Father, which is written and produced by the Kendrick Brothers. And if you know the Kendrick Brothers, they have the movies Courageous, Facing the Giants, Overcomer, War Room, all great movies, great family, faith-based movies. But now they're venturing into the documentary world with Show Me the Father, and Dylan McCullough's story is prominently featured in this film. I got a chance to screen it, and I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference in so many people's lives, especially if you've had daddy issues like I have and grew up in a tough situation where your dad wasn't there or your dad might have been there but not really there. This is a movie that you're going to want to see and show to a men's group, to a church group. ShowMeTheFatherMovie.com is the website. It's a documentary called Show Me the Father. And Dylan McCullough is our guest today. Now, Dylan is currently coaching the University of Indiana Hoosiers football program as their associate head coach. Prior to that, he was with the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL, where he had a lot of success in his three seasons, three AFC championship appearances, two Super Bowl appearances, and a Super Bowl championship. That's pretty darn good for 3 years in the NFL as a coach, as Dylan McCullough was. But his story is a crazy one. And we're not going to give it all away here because we want you to watch it in the documentary, Show Me the Father. But basically, Dylan adopted as a newborn, reunited with his biological mother 4 years ago, found out his biological father is a former NFL player and NFL coach who also happened to serve as his mentor for many years. This is a crazy story. Dylan McCullough's got a great, great mindset on living for Christ, but coaching and impacting young men. You're going to love this conversation with Dylan McCullough from the University of Indiana right now on Sports Spectrum. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So glad that you're here on the show today. Let's start with your role. We're going to talk about the documentary and your story in a minute, but your new role, you have a new role now. You're back with the University of Indiana. Just curious about how that's going for you as we get ready for a new season here.
Yeah, just excited to be back here at Indiana University. It was something that wasn't planned, you know, but I knew I always wanted to come back to college football and had several opportunities. But when this one presented itself, it was something that kind of fit and checked all the boxes for me and my family geographically, just philosophically, what was going on here at the program. Just several factors that made this a good fit, and I'm just excited to be back.
And it's a great program, Indiana, right? This is a team that's really came on the last few years and has some great leadership there. How exciting is it for you to be a part of a program that's really, I mean, it's done really well in the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, it's really emerging, you know, and you know, the first 6 years I was here, you know, it was a level of foundation that was laid. Without a doubt, Tom Allen becoming a head coach and just took things and the culture and just the whole atmosphere to another level. He's a phenomenal person. You know, I mean, if, you know, football coach second, I'm talking about just a phenomenal person. And I think that's what draws, you know, the whole team to him and all of the staff, and just makes working at Indiana a great opportunity. Again, man, I'm just blessed to be here.
Yeah, we had Coach Allen on, I want to say a year and a half ago, and he leads with his faith out in front. There is no doubt about that. And that has to be appealing as well for you as a man of faith too.
Yes. You know, I mean, just, you know, knowing, you know, the backbone of the program, you know, has that type of background, you know, that helps definitely.
Take me back to 2018, and you arrive in Kansas City and you're the Chiefs running backs coach. It's your first job in the NFL, from what I could see, as a coach. And then 2019, you guys win it all. And in 2018, you were really close, right? In the AFC Championship game, going to overtime. In 2020, you win a Super Bowl. So that's a lot of success for three seasons, Dylan, that you can just throw on the resume and say, see, look what happened here. But what was that experience like for you coming into the NFL for that first time in 2018 as a coach?
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, it was kind of a, you know, at that moment, a climax to a degree for what I wanted to do. You know, I'd always had in mind being a college head coach was my ending goal, a successful college head coach. I keep saying college head coach, but I don't want to just be a head coach. And you're a head coach and you got your butt kicked and now you're not there anymore. A successful college head football coach. But I knew along the way there were some things that I needed to do to show my proficiency, you know, on the upper levels of football. So when the opportunity came to go to the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, I was very excited about it. It was a situation where I wanted to learn and earn respect, you know, and obviously when I got there, some things started happening as far as us getting to the AFC Championship game. But along the way, I think it was a bunch of things that were satisfying, but one of the things that stood out is I didn't have to change who I am. And that was very important to me, that I can stay the type of person that I am, the type of coach that I am, maintain the type of relationships that I have with players, and the players on that level, just like they do here. But on that level, you're talking about guys and the type of money involved, they really, really embrace just forming that relationship with them, you know, and talking with them and just being somebody they can really rely on. Yeah, the football, I know that's what we're here for. I get that, you know, but I think some of the just – the way I connected with those guys and bonded with them, it helped all of us during that 3 year period.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word success, right? Well, the ultimate success is winning it all. And you did that in 2019. When you think back to that season, what do you take away from that, other than the fact that you're a Super Bowl champion and you have to, you know, you have that opportunity to get a ring and that'll stay with you forever. But what do you take away from that season as you think back now to what it took to go all the way and to win a title?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. We had a conversation about that this morning in a staff meeting. But just, you know, the camaraderie of the team, the leadership, you know, just the overall expectation to win it all. You know, guys really, you know, bought into that, and we got it done. So, you know, as y'all look back on it, the thing that I gleaned from it as I come here and have these conversations with, you know, the offense, just the whole entire team, and I can – pull so many similarities from the Kansas City Chiefs as we started making our moves and coming up the ranks. And even as we had some adverse games where we just continued to a full belief and expectation that we would win those games. But that was rooted in great leadership and work ethic and details and different things like that. So it's been that experience. I knew I would win the Super Bowl, but I knew that experience would be something that I could bring here and hopefully parlay that into some high level success and us winning the Big Ten championship.
And the culture in Kansas City when you were there, also led by faith, when you talk about, you know, Mr. Hunt, right? I mean, he's an outspoken man of faith who loves Jesus, and that kind of trickles all the way down too. I know we've had their team chaplain on and many players who played on that team, and it felt like there was a culture, not just of faith, because you got to be careful, I guess, how you live that out. But there was a lot of people who were unashamed about Christ, but led in a really unique way, I thought, that created such a cool culture. You felt that, I have to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely felt it. I mean, it was a very positive atmosphere. From Mr. Hunt down to obviously Coach Reed, who was just a calm, cool-headed gentleman. I mean, players loved him. Coaches loved him, had high level respect for him. I think everything just came together in a great way. And I'm just so glad that we were able to reach the epitome and bring home the trophy, to Kansas City, back to the Hunt family. And then for Coach Reed to be able to get his first one, man, as a head coach, that was just phenomenal.
Can you appreciate going to the Super Bowl and not winning it all? As you know, because I talk to people a lot, especially those who've never won a title, and you guys won a title, you go back and then you lose, but still such an awesome accomplishment just to get there. Are you able to appreciate that after going through it and looking back, even though it's obviously a disappointment, you want to go back to back?
Yeah. I mean, there's a strong level of appreciation because, I know when I talk to people and, maybe, two or three people total who I've had a conversation with, you got to reaffirm to them, this is the NFL. This ain't, youth league football where, hey, everything in place, you should win the Super Bowl the next 6 years or something. It's hard, and you take not a moral victory, but you understand the difficulty that it is on that level of football to win the thing once, let alone twice in a row, there's a level of respect for that. And I know just from talking with guys on the team still there and coaches on the team, everybody, completely felt like we could and should have won that last year. And all the pieces are in place for the Chiefs to win this year. I know I'm pulling for them guys.
Let's take a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you a little bit more about our friends at Compassion International, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world, and it's a company and an organization and a partner of Sports Spectrum that we value so much. And the work that they do, when I tell you how important it is, I'm not sugarcoating it here. It's incredibly important work, releasing kids from poverty, but doing it in Jesus' name, teaching these kids who are stuck in really dire situations about how they can accept Christ and have a relationship with Jesus. That's the most important thing, but they do it with compassion and through compassion's programs. Now, due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids last year and their families in compassion programs were stuck potentially without a sponsorship and are in need of your urgent support. Now, 70,000 is the capacity of the average pro football stadium. And since we've launched Fill the Stadium and their compassion program a year and a half ago, we've seen almost 58,000 seats filled with Compassion's program. You guys have come through. I'm telling you, every seat representing a child in need, and we're close to 60,000 seats. So our goal is very much in reach of helping 70,000 kids and their families. But we're not there yet. So we need your help. It's almost to the end, but we have to keep pushing here to help these kids. There's still 10,000 children out there who need your help. Your help providing essential food and medical care and support for a child and their family during this ongoing pandemic. Help restore what COVID-19 destroyed by going to fillthestadium.com and donating today. Any amount helps. Fillthestadium.com. This is a stadium that cannot remain empty. Fillthestadium.com. He is Dylan McCullough. He's joining us today on Sports Spectrum, the University of Indiana associate head football coach, also handling the running backs there. His story is featured in the new documentary, Show Me the Father, which is written and produced by the Kendrick Brothers. It's in theaters September 10th. You can check out more at showmethefathermovie.com. We're going to talk about your crazy story in a second, but I want to learn a little bit about your journey to Christ and kind of telling us maybe your testimony a little bit and share with us how that journey took place for you and the importance of the Lord in your life.
Well, I mean, the way I was brought up, my grandma was a pastor of the church that I went to, and it was always something where, it was a situation where we counted our blessings and different things like that. And yes, the word, was a definite part of our family. You know, I mean, all events and different things like that, going to revivals and all of that, you know, but for me, it was just seeing how God acted in my life, which was the biggest thing, probably even more than, you know, maybe going to revivals and Bible studies and different things like that, because I heard about, always heard about, you know, the impact that Christ would have on our lives, and he's guiding our steps and different things like that. But as I started just going through some of the things that I experienced, you know, whether it be rough times at home, you know, or rough times in school and different things like that, and just some of the challenges that I had to overcome, I knew that that wasn't just me. You know, that was very clear to me, you know, and probably by the time I got, once I got in, you know, once I graduated from high school and went to college, it was very clear to me. I said, this was God's hand on my life all the way up through this point. Because I look back at some of the things that, you know, even decisions that I made and some of the situations I've been presented with, most people wouldn't have made it to where I've made it to, you know? So I was really like infused with the spirit at that point of saying, man, you know what? I feel like there might be a higher calling for some things that I can continue to do if I continue to work hard and do the right things. And that's what I, you know, continue to attempt to do, you know? So for me, it's just like a whole life testimonial of things that I, you know, and decisions that I made that were, you know, that definitely had God's hands on them, you know, to get me to the point where I am. And I'm just, you know, continuing to be a work in progress, of course, like all of us, you know, but man, there's no denying, you know, at all for me, you know, God's hand in my life and how he continues to just guide my footsteps and take me somewhere where I know I couldn't have went on my own.
When you came into football and you were in the NFL for a couple of years and then played in the CFL and then went into coaching, but actually had this opportunity to be a high school principal as well while you were coaching there before you went into this college opportunity with Indiana, then USC, and then, as we mentioned, the Chiefs. In your coaching and even in your playing journey, did you look at football as a way to live out your faith? Did you ever think of football as a ministry? I've talked to a lot of coaches who look at their job, but in a way they look at it as a ministry and to be able to exude the light of Christ in what they do each time. Did you have that, or do you have that?
Yeah, I look at it like that just because the opportunity to have impact, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, you know, football, or even when I was a classroom teacher or principal, it was just a vehicle, you know, to help infuse, you know, things of importance into people's lives, and to help even through the example of how God impacted my life, you know, to let those guys know that, hey, there's a higher call and there's things that you can do to, you don't have to use where you come from as an excuse or what some of the experiences you had just because of the impact of God on your life. And if you believe, and again, of course, you know, you have to do the right things and you need to conduct yourself the right way. But as long as your heart is in the right place, you know, God got you, and there's a, you know, could be some great things happening on the other side. And for me, I can show that because I was, you know, I will communicate with these guys in the way that they understood that. Like, okay, we know where he's from because I could communicate like them, you know, right. And I had, you know, similar things that those guys have experienced. So that raised my credibility a lot with the people that I was dealing with.
So I want to tread carefully here because we want people to go see Show Me the Father. It's the documentary that's out, written and produced by the Kendrick brothers. And if you don't know the Kendrick brothers, they made the movies Courageous, Facing the Giants, Overcomer, War Room, fantastic movies. This is their first kind of venture into the documentary world. And this documentary, Show Me the Father, it features your story, but it's not just your story. There's other stories in it as well, but it's really about the importance of dads and the importance of a father. So let me start with that, and then I'll have you kind of give us the treetop version of your story so that people can still go watch the film and be, as I say, blown away when they hear the full story. But give us a snapshot of this documentary and the reason why, A, you said yes to be a part of it, because you have to say yes to be a part of it, but B, the importance of just the idea of fathers in and present in people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we were ultimately approached by prior to being approached by the Kendrick brothers, just with this opportunity, I know that, you know, my dad was really strong on saying, you know, this is a God thing. I really, you know, really wish that we had a vehicle for it to be displayed in that light, You know, we didn't know this. I don't know this business. You know, I mean, I'm coaching. I'm not, you know, a guy who goes out and seeks out any of these things. So
right.
we'd already had something going with another company, not for the documentary piece, but more for an actual full-blown movie that will come out here in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I was at the combine. This might have been 2 years ago. And I got a call or email or whatever it was from the Kendrick brothers talking about wanting to do this. So I was like super excited. My dad, everybody was very excited because this was something that we wanted anyway, just didn't know how to pursue it or how to put ourselves in line to find that opportunity. So again, going back to what I said earlier, you know, God opened up that door because we're just talking about it, not knowing like, hey, whatever. And then next thing you know, the best circumstance presents itself for you know, the story to be presented in this light. So, you know, just, it, you know, it's been a blessing. I mean, you know, definitely going, you know, I think people definitely will get something from it for sure. I know I spoke to someone else just talking about fatherhood. And to me, you know, fatherhood is, you know, it's not a noun, it's a verb, it's action, you know, yeah. you know, being involved, you know, so it's something, you know, that definitely spoke to me. Obviously, you know, my relationship with my dad, you know, not knowing he was my dad, of course.
Right.
And then, you know, then obviously not really having that type of example, but then knowing what I wanted to have, what type of example I wanted my sons to have, you know, not even technically being raised by my dad, you know, and having some other examples, you know, at least, you know, legitimate fathers in my life who really weren't the guys that I wanted them to be. But again, God put me in a position to say, hey, don't use the examples that were in front of you as the examples or the blueprint for what you want to be. Sometimes you can use those for things, you know, to not be, you know. So it's like I always took and used the opposite. Like, okay, I'll never do this. I'll never do this. But trust me, I almost formed a little dossier of what I would not do, you know. just been blessed, you know, with my own four sons. And, you know, and continuing to try to be, you know, a great father to these guys and bring them up the right way.
So let's do the sort of Cliff Notes version, right? We can't give away the whole book, but we can give away the synopsis of your story. And we did have Sherman on, your biological father, Sherman Smith, on the podcast a year and a half ago. So if you're a loyal listener to this show, you know the story. But I think a lot of people have joined us since then that are new listeners. But again, I want people to watch the film and not give it all away. So give us like the, and you've kind of alluded to some of it, the sort of treetop version of the story with you and Sherman Smith.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll tread on what the treetop version is, I guess, sure. You know, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I was, you know, I'm adopted, you know, and, you know, I always was interested in knowing who my biological parents were, you know, and, you know, just as time went on, especially when I started having children, it really started hitting me more, especially when I asked about, you know, any family health issues and things like that. And I'm just like, it just like every time it just hit me like harder and harder, like, man, I don't know anything, you know? So, you know, obviously, you know, ultimately, you know, ended up tracking down my biological mom and then, you know, which I was very happy about for sure. I know we're talking about the fatherhood aspect of it, but I was very excited to find out who my biological mom was.
Sure.
You know, then obviously she told me, and I had no way I seen this coming, you know, when she told me who my biological, I said, well, who's my dad? And when she said that, man, I almost hit the deck. I felt like I almost passed out. It's crazy.
Because Sherman Smith was somebody who was in your life for many years before you even knew that he was your biological father. So we'll just stop there with that story because I want people to watch and hear the rest. Yeah. It's an unbelievable story. It's one of the craziest stories you will ever hear. But I want to ask you about the story, right? And recognizing that your story was one that was going to resonate with others because we're talking about a biography here, or I should say a documentary here. Like you mentioned a movie that I can't wait to see that's going to be coming out in a couple of years that depicts your guy's life. We've had stories. I've seen stories on ESPN that's done on this. We did a story in our magazine a couple of years ago. It's clearly resonating with people. Did you recognize that right away that, oh, this is going to be a story that can, I don't know, help a lot of people, encourage people, maybe even point them to Christ? Did you recognize that right away? Or were you just kind of caught up in your own you know, sort of craziness of your own story and just learning this?
I don't think, you know, I don't think I've seen all the layers, you know, that it would touch people. I knew, you know, there was a, you know, I knew that there was a big chunk of it that would have a major impact on people. Once the story came out, you know, ESPN, obviously, who did the E60 on it, yes. When they did that and then they did a written piece, I mean, I got thousands of direct messages through, you know, Facebook and just calls and texts, and different things like that. I mean, it was just unbelievable, you know, and that's what let me see, you know, how strong it was. And it was ironically, when we talk about just, you know, the faith aspect of it, and I'm not joking when I say this, probably 90% of the responses that I got and people writing, they talked about, you know, this is a God thing and just, you know, how much, you know, how much God had, you know, had his hand on your life, God did this, did that. So it's kind of ironic that we're at this point, we're having this conversation right here, because at that point I had no clue, nothing about doing the documentary, Show Me the Father wasn't even a thought for me at that point. I'm just kind of taking in all of the calls and all of the emails and social media and everything like that. So, you know, my dad seen it instantly, it was very obvious to him. And I kind of was in the middle of it, kind of getting hit. But after the piece came out on ESPN, just a lot of the feedback focused on what we're talking about today.
What was it like to have your dad, who's a Super Bowl champion as well as a coach, kind of have that experience with you when you won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago? That must have been a pretty neat bonding experience in a way that most anyone, including myself, could never really understand.
Yeah, it was great, you know, and you know, me and my dad, we, you know, we kind of laid back, kind of go with the flow type guys, you know, but that, you know, you just talk about how God lined all of that up. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah. You know, when you sit back and look at everything, you know, when you lay out, you know, you start going down like a checklist of, okay, both of us, you know, from Youngstown. Okay. Obviously, you know, both of us went to Miami. Okay. That can happen. Both of us are in the Hall of Fame at Miami. Okay. You know, both of us, you know, go to the NFL as running backs, both of our careers end in the running, I mean, in the NFL because of knee surgeries. Both of us become teachers. Both of us were high school coaches. Both of our first jobs, our first college job was Miami. Our next college job was in the Big Ten. He went to Illinois. I went to Indiana. You know, so when I found out that he was my dad, at that point I'm at USC and everybody said, I mean, my wife says, she said, oh, God got it planned out. You know where you're going next. Cause obviously my dad went to the NFL. A month and a half later, I'm in the NFL, you know? So, and I tell people, none of this, I said, as much respect as I have for my dad, you know, when he was my coach, I never was sitting in the background saying, what did he do next? I'm trying to do that. I just was living. I mean, right. You know, I was just living my life. And just, you know, again, God had a plan. It's just ironic, although I didn't follow any of the same. I wasn't trying to follow behind what my dad did. You know, I went like, hey, what did Coach Smith do when he got done playing ball? He went and did this. I'm going to go do that. I just was like, that's just what I ended up going into. So it's like a super blessing, man. But there's just so many ironies in there. I mean, it is movie worthy at this point.
Oh, it absolutely is, Dylan. I'm curious for you, once you find out your dad, who he is and all that, and you are already a man of faith at that point, but what does that do to your faith going forward? I have to imagine it really just fills you up in a way that maybe reveals God even being even more real than he might have been before. I have to imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. You know, I mean, you know, it you know, was humbling, you know, just to say, you mean, and we all say the same thing. I mean, I'm not nowhere near perfect, but I just look at, you know, God knows my heart, you know, and the impact that I try to have on the people around me and just, you know, in my own family and just doing the right thing, you know, with those guys and just working hard and, you know, working to be the best role model I could be, best father I could be, best husband I can be, coach, friend, you know, that, even with the imperfections that we all have, for me personally, God just paved a way, you know, for me to be something or somebody that the people can look up to and say, man, this is the example of what God can do, you know, in someone's life. So, I mean, and again, I use that testimony as I'm talking to the guys that I coach, and they see it like, man, I mean, it's very evident, you know, and then there's pressure that comes with that too. I'm like, hey, I'm just trying to do my thing, and I ain't trying to, you know, be nothing more than what I am, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's clear to me God has a plan for my life. And I don't know what the next thing is, because I'm like, hey, you know, some of the things up to this point, I couldn't have said 10 years ago, I guarantee this is going to happen next. I had no clue. I just was going with the flow. So I'm sitting back and enjoying the ride, but along the way, trying to impact people's lives in the most positive way that I can.
Let me ask you about this documentary, because I saw it at a large convention with about 150 other people, right? So there's an audience watching this, and many of them I could tell either weren't sports fans or maybe just didn't know your story, and they're watching it. And again, this documentary, Show Me the Father, also features Dr. Tony Evans. It features Jim Daly. It features Eddie George. There's a bunch of other people that are featured in this, but your story is the one that really is like the meat of it, if you will. And I'm watching it and I know the ending, and yet you watch the audience, and it's gotta be what it feels like to be an actor in a movie theater, I have to imagine. And you know what the ending is going to be, and you're in there watching a crowd watch it, and then they just go, oh my gosh, that happened. That's exactly what it was like when I was watching this. I was sitting in the back and this audience was captivated by your story. And then all of a sudden the payoff happens and they go, and people started clapping like right in the middle of this auditorium as they were watching this documentary. So I'm hoping that's convincing enough for people to go see Show Me the Father, which they should, but then show it to someone else or bring someone else with them. But as we wind down, Dylan, I want to ask you, what do you hope people get out of seeing your story on a documentary film like Show Me the Father? And when they see this, what do you hope they take away from this when they hear about you, your story, and Sherman's story?
Wow. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think, you know, that just the hand of God in everyone's life and on the documentary, first of all, you know, I mean, there's so many great stories in there. You know, we show some of it to the people on our team, and it just met the whole spectrum of everybody there, you know, from good father, bad father, absent father. I mean, it just kind of runs through the gamut. But specifically, you know, with my particular story, I'm just hoping it shows, you know, that, you know, I guess similar to what you said a little bit earlier, you just never know what God's plan is until you get a chance to look back on it. Because in this one, I just look at all of the breadcrumbs along the way, you know, and not to take away from, you know, stuff from the movie. But I mean, my dad was my coach. You know, he coached me my freshman year. So there was a lot of conversation when he was my coach, you know, amongst my teammates, like, man, you look like this guy, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. So you can look back at those things all these years and different things. I don't want to give too many other pieces away, but, you know, it's just, you know, just how magnificent, how magnificent, you know, God's hand is in this, especially in this, how he just revealed it to us. I mean, it was like at the right time for everybody. So I'm just, like I said, again, just excited about the project. I think people are going to get a whole lot out of it, and just, you know, excited to see what the ending response will be.
We know you're excited for a 2021 football season as well, right? Now, tell me about Indiana is my last question to you. And just what are you most excited about with this team? And I know it's your first year with them, but what are you most excited about being back with Indiana and with this team?
Well, I mean, I'm excited about just, again, the foundation that's been laid. I think, you know, there was a breakthrough last year for sure. You know, being a top 10, top 12 team in the country, with a lot of the wins that we had last year, they kind of broke the mold and moved in, this pushing the envelope further as far as towards the championship expectation that we have here at Indiana. So, I mean, really, really excited about that. Excited about the staff we have. I mean, Coach Allen's unbelievable. Just the buy-in from and the culture that we have on the team. Just really excited about it. Guys been working hard, you know, but now it's time. I mean, all that conversation, the fanfare is about to be over because now it's time to get, like, legitimately get to work, you know, and nobody is going to pat us on the back for what happened last year because now we got a target, you know, and some of them teams we beat last year, they used to beating us, you know, mm-hmm. and they may look at last year as an anomaly, and we need to show, I know it wasn't just a flash in the pan, it's legitimate. So we're working towards, you know, cementing our respect amongst our peers.
Well, football's back, and that's a beautiful thing to say, and we're just happy to have that back. We're happy to have you here on the show, Dylan. It's been great to connect with you. Again, I want people to go see Show Me the Father. Go to showmethefathermovie.com. It's in theaters September 10th, and I'm sure it'll be available after that, too, for places and people to watch and see. You can get all of the details at showmethefathermovie.com. Dylan McCullough, thanks, man. Have a great season. I wish you guys nothing but the best, and hopefully we'll connect again down the road.
Thank you very much.
And many thanks to Dylan McCullough from the University of Indiana, and it is so good to have college football back this weekend. It's also great to have this new documentary, Show Me the Father. It's in theaters September 10th, 2021, just a couple days here. Check out showmethefathermovie.com. That's where you can see where the movie's going to be shown. Maybe you can bring the film to your city, to your movie theater. Showmethefathermovie.com is the website. And again, Dylan McCullough's story with his dad, Sherman Smith, is featured prominently in this documentary. And you may already know the story. We tried to tread lightly as we told it here on the podcast, but you may already know the story, the full story of Dylan and of Sherman Smith. But that's okay, because trust me, there are a lot of people who still haven't heard it and need to hear their story. Actually need to hear all of the stories in this new documentary, especially if you're a dad or someone who's gone through issues with your own dad like I have. ShowMeTheFatherMovie.com is, again, the website, in theaters September 10th. Thanks to Dylan for being here today on Sports Spectrum. We are grateful for you as well. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. Make sure you go to sportsspectrum.com. Click that newsletter icon at the top when you're there, by the way, and you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter, as well as our Sports Spectrum weekly that comes to your inbox once a week, and it updates you on all that we have going on here at Sports Spectrum with the podcasts, the devotionals, the stories, the articles that you may have missed. You can sign up for free at sportsspectrum.com, click that newsletter icon, and you are good to go. So check that out. Also, rate and review, subscribe, and like this podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can subscribe to Sports Spectrum. That way you never miss an episode. And we got more episodes coming down the pike, especially this month with football being back. We got some great conversations with some people who love football. We have a new football show that's going to be premiering online on sportsspectrum.com. Can't wait for you guys to hear and see about that as well. Lots of great stuff happening here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. If you'd like to reach me again, you can email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. And please do tune in next time for a brand new episode here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe and see you next time.